This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll go to the phone lines now. It's a Wednesday. That means we talk to Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by findmassmoney.gov. Scal, you're in a good sell area, we hear now, so you can break it down crystal clear. What the hell happened to the Celtics the other night in Game 1? Why did they shoot and miss 45 three-pointers? Is that just who they are, or are you mad about it?
I'm mad about it, but at this point I'm at the where it doesn't surprise me for them to have games like this, even though I didn't expect it to happen Game 1. A guy told me a joke. I thought it was pretty good. He's like, you know, the Orlando series, Orlando did whatever they could to take away the three. So the fact that they can get any three that they wanted, it was like a kid in a candy store. They couldn't help themselves. You know, they always say, like, water finds its level. Yep. But with all the threes that they couldn't take in the Orlando series, they felt like they could get them in the Knicks series. So I don't really have an answer. I don't think it was good basketball. I thought it was uninspiring and all the things. But, you know, I do think this team has shown us before that they always give like this one game where they can just throw it away, and then they seem to be a team that backs it up after their one bad mulligan.
Okay, so let's just pretend for a second, Scal, that instead of the Celtics not taking it to the rack, not trying to get Brunson and Cat in more foul trouble, taking too many threes, let's just imagine all of that isn't the main reason why they lost. Let's just imagine for a second, or suppose, that the Knicks did enough to win the game. Is there anything you think that they did in that game that is troublesome for the Celtics that could rear its head again tonight?
I thought they, in the third quarter, I thought they did a decent job of running us off the line, even though we still took the shots. You know, I thought that their full commitment to we're not going to get beat by the three and rotating out of it, but nothing that with a little bit of force. You know, Jason Tatum has been a matchup nightmare for the Knicks. I don't know what was up with him. He looked so strange out there. Like, even when he took it to the basket, he was bobbling the ball, wasn't clean, crisp, or anything like that. So I can only say that in the third quarter, I just felt like we downshifted so much. It wasn't anything the Knicks did. Now, I will give Brunson credit. Those three threes were tough threes at the end of the game. And, you know, the shot quality wasn't great, but he still stuck them. And the rest of those guys competed. I mean, remember, we beat them four times in the regular season, and then we were beating up on them again in the third quarter up until the time we got three happy. So, yeah, maybe the Knicks said enough is enough, but it felt like to me that we really, really, really downshifted.
You know what, Scal? It just feels like that game is kind of a game that people will point to when they, you know, you say, well, why is Jason Tatum maybe underappreciated? It's because of games like that. And I'm curious. You know, I think you even said in the you know, or I was imagining you saying in the broadcast in the third period, you know, it's time for Jason Tatum to take this game over. I can imagine hearing you say that. And so I'm just your thoughts on how Jason Tatum played that game, particularly in the second half, and what do you want to see from him tonight?
Well, I don't want to see that, Ted. That's for sure. And I think that there is some truth to what you're saying. I know there's some truth to what you're saying. Like if it's a weird thing, right? If you're going to go out and complain that people don't give you the proper respect, well, you can't have days like that, right? It's just the way it goes. And, you know, there's different kinds of not playing good. You know, you can miss a bunch of shots, but you keep taking them. It just wasn't engaged. And he was great. Like, his first quarter, how good was he in the first quarter? And yep. Then, you know, it was a weird thing. Even, like, Ted, at the top of the key, he'd get the ball and he'd reverse it. Like, that's the play that I make. Like, I reverse the ball. Like, not Jason Tatum, right? So it's just like, I agree with everything that you said, but he also has shown us to back it up. And, like, to be honest, he was a beast on the glass. Like, a place on the resume that doesn't get enough attention was, I mean, the guy rebounded at a super high level. But it was just, it was a strange third for Jason Tatum, no doubt about it.
Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, here on WEEI Afternoon. Speaking of strange, Kristaps Porzingis had an illness. He was out there at halftime. I know some of the people in the arena, the reporters, were like, oh, I think he's going to play. And then he didn't end up playing the second half. What's up with Porzingis? He didn't have a great series against the Magic. Is he a guy you're still counting on, or is he almost like a forgotten guy now?
I mean, he's a guy that I expect to play well when he's out there. And when he plays, he doesn't look sick. You know what I mean? So It wasn't – I mean, I know he was missing shots and stuff like that, but he didn't look lethargic or anything like that. And then, you know, I don't understand – I still don't know what he has, like the illness that he has. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe he don't want to discuss – I have no idea. But it is – I mean, it's a little strange thing. But, you know, I don't know if it's affecting his strength. We're so used to Porzingis getting those matchups. And when he turns and he elevates, there's no one close to the ball. We're not used to him missing those shots. And, I mean, I guess we have to point to right when he started to get sick, it's the time where he started to kind of struggle with the post-ups. But you guys know where I feel about Porzingis. I don't like to use him as a one-dimensional big. I like to move him around. I like to have him set a screen and dive, set a screen and pop, some ISO, some early post-ups in transition. And when we use him like that, I think that's when we are, maybe not him, but we Celtics are at our best.
So, Scal, how do you expect the Celtics to come out tonight? And do you think in the long haul they end up attempting more threes than the last game?
No, I don't think they take more threes. The only thing I would say about that is if we play faster than we could, you know, like it doesn't seem – you guys seen the Knicks play. They do seem to have a hard time taking away the three. Now, we didn't shoot the ball well. I think that has to do with not being engaged and not moving it or not attacking and, you know, like drawing to and kicking it. But at least from my eyes, from what I know about basketball, it's a matchup nightmare for them to guard us because of Karl Anthony Towns at the five. Even if we have Luke Kornet, like they still have to switch on Tatum. And you saw what Tatum did in the first quarter. So it should be a matchup nightmare for the Knicks. It should be. I'm not sure they feel that way, but we'll see. And I do think that when we get a 20-point lead, we don't have to go all the way down the first gear. Like, we could, you know, like we could still push the ball up the floor. We could still matchup hunt, but we could do it with a little bit more pace.
You know, Scal, it feels like, you know, in the past, at least when the Celtics are winning against the Knicks, it's like, you know, Karl Anthony Towns and Brunson can kind of get theirs, but it's the Mikal Bridges and the OG Anunobis and the other guys, the Josh Harts, that they can't go off as well. And in the game the other night, OG Anunobi went for 29. What do you think does he concern you in this series? And if so, what would be your plan against him?
I mean, I don't think they got to do anything differently. Like, usually the Celtics have select threes that they want to give up. That usually it's above the break, not corner threes. They gave up three corner threes to Anunobi. So I would think that that's part of the game plan that they can take away. So that's part of it. But OG Anunobi was the best player on the floor. Like, he took the challenge against Tatum. I mean, he looked awesome yesterday. So you know, the Celtics got to take that challenge. Like, it's not just – this team is not just Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. Like, those other guys are good, too. You know, Bridges, he's been, like, really up and down during the playoffs, but he's made some big shots. But Anunobi 100% be a guy that they have to focus in on. And and not allow a guy like that to get any free looks. You can give him the looks you want, but you have to take away those corner threes. Like, you cannot give – like, OG Anunoby's been making corner threes since he was in Toronto. You have to make sure you take those away.
Scal, Jaylen Brown had an interesting game one. I thought he was part of sort of a good flow in the second quarter. He was making some of those elbow jumpers in the paint, doing some different things. And then he clearly was frustrated later in the game and then certainly post-game about how they closed out the game. Where do you feel like he's at in terms of that whole leadership thing that we lauded him for last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, the NBA Finals? Do you think he was frustrated the other night, and how do you think he reacts to that?
I mean, I think are you alluding to the argument between him and Joe Mazzulla, or
and then post game there was the whole we can't just be however he phrased it, jacking up threes and making decisions with the ball. Like, he seemed frustrated, and he seemed frustrated with himself at times defensively a little bit.
Yeah, I mean everyone was frustrated with that game. I think Jaylen Brown is probably the most outspoken on this team. But I'm sure, like, Tatum, White, Holiday, Horford, all those guys were like that. But just, I think Brown just feels much more comfortable talking about it and, you know, much more comfortable being vocal about it. And he's not wrong. Like at that situation in the third quarter when he came out, like, Jaylen Brown can really benefit from all the three-point shooting that we have. He is the best guy on our team at playing off 2 feet. So, you know, I don't know what was discussed in the huddles, but let's say it was discussed, guys, we got to take the ball to the rim. Well, the first guy I would look at is Brown. Like, Brown would be – is, like, the reason why he got Finals MVP and Conference Finals MVP is because he was relentless at going to the basket, and no one can guard him one-on-one. You have to send help, and people seem to be reluctant about helping off of our shooters. So, yeah, like, in that situation – that's the reason we paid Jaylen Brown $300 million is because when things aren't going well from the outside, give it to Jaylen Brown and let him get downhill. As long as we got great spacing, he'll really benefit from it.
The giveaway tonight, Scal, and the Boston Garden, as our pal Justin M. Turpin just tweeted out, is a towel that says, whatever it takes. And it's interesting because that's kind of an interesting tag for tonight's game, because it seems like all the other teams that are pulling off these surprise wins in the playoffs are doing whatever it takes, like that heroic effort by Jokic against OKC. And how impressive have the Pacers been in going up 2-0 against the Cavs?
Yeah, I mean, the Pacers are the most underrated team, which is funny because I always tell people, don't listen to players. The players voted Tyrese Haliburton the most overrated player. Like, you can make an argument that he's actually underrated as a player and for that team. And, you know, like, he was money down the stretch. He was money down the stretch in against Milwaukee. They got a lot of guys with a chip on their shoulder. Denver, yeah, I mean, you can also throw in the Golden State Warriors going in after their game 7 against Houston, them going into Minnesota and beating that team. Like, on paper, Minnesota should beat the heck out of the Warriors, their length, their athleticism. But no, they shut those guys down. So the NBA is whatever it takes, right? That does seem to be the theme. And the teams that are living by that motto are getting it done. The Celtics had on their shirt, take it, like, join in the fight or take the fight to them or something about the fight. Well, they only did it for half the game, right? They got to do it for the full 48. And you could say the same thing about Cleveland. You could say the same thing about Oklahoma City. All those teams have been up, and they're not able to close out games. It's a 48-minute game, and people got to realize that in the playoffs.
Scal, we like to close these out with a prediction. So how do you see tonight unfolding?
Bloodbath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's
here we go.
There's no way. There's no way. Like, this team, the talent discrepancy is so great. You know, great job by the Knicks getting that done, making this series interesting. But, and I'm glad they did, because this should not be an interesting series.
All right, Scal. Appreciate you joining us. We will talk to you next week, and we'll be watching tonight to see if you're right.
All right. Sounds good. See you.
Thanks,
see you,
Scal.
Buddy. See you, bud.
So Scal agrees with the books, because we talked about it the other day. The Celtics were, I think, favored by 9 in game one. It was up to 10.5 or more for game two. So they lose game one, and the reaction is, oh, we're going to lay a bigger number for game two. So bloodbath. Look for a bloodbath tonight. Celtics, Knicks, TD Gardens.